few things before we get to our text. The other day, I was with some folks, and the kids were there, and he said that youth is wasted on youth. And there's a truth to that. Not always, but most times. And, you know, part of life is understanding things, understanding where you're at, understanding what's before you. It's so important to grasp hold of life, not live for the moment, but live with eternity in view. I think that's very important. Always living with eternity in mind. Knowing that you're saved, knowing you're living for God, knowing you're going to face the Lord one day, give an account for your life. These are sobering things, but they're very important things. And I think it's so important in life that you understand you really only have one opportunity. I've said this many times to my family. I said, you know, the 40s, from 40, you know, to 50 went by like that. I mean, it was such a busy time in my life. Liz and I were raising our teenagers and people getting married. We had grandkids, and it was just unbelievable how fast my 40s went. And, you know, we're in March. We're about to enter March of this year already. Winter is almost behind us. It's so important to see things right. People do that medically. They don't take time to figure out things, and they let things go, and next thing you know, they're in real bad shape because they didn't deal with things like they should have. People do that in all sorts of problems, and raising kids, putting off the responsibility of training them up in the way they should go. And I'll wait. Next thing you know, and they've got a mess on their hands because they simply didn't obey the scriptures. But people do that also in life, in their lives, in their marriages, in their family, with their parents, in society. They allow unforgiveness to enter in their lives. I know for a fact there are families here, not many, some families here where marriages have bitterness in them. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be part of our lives. You know, the wonderful thing about the scriptures is that God is so practical in so many ways. He knows how man is. I was meditating, and we're going to get to this later, a little bit later on, but in Ephesians 4, let all bitterness and clamor and evil speaking, God says, be put away from you. God said that to save people. Let all bitterness. And yet there's people are bitter at their spouse. Husbands bitter at their wives. Wives bitter at their husband. Parents bitter at their kids. Kids bitter at their parents. You know, one thing that's grasped the family has been known for, we're a happy family. Doesn't mean we haven't had problems, but we've always tried to deal with them. But we're a happy family. We enjoyed getting together like a pack of wolves when we get together, all nuzzling up and kissing and, you know, how you doing? Oh, you know, all this stuff goes on. We're happy to be together. We enjoy life, enjoy each other. Get a kick out of each other. We talk about serious things, but we enjoy each other. We communicate. This family's been sitting here for years. They don't talk to each other. They don't communicate. There's bitterness. There's anger. Ought not to be that way, beloved. Ought not be that way. You know my prayer is today? Here's my prayer. I want people to be saved today. That's my primary prayer. Number two is I want to see people get right with God. Get right with God. And get the bitterness out of their lives. You say, well, yeah, I'm not really bitter. I mean, I get mad at my husband, my wife once in a while, but I'm not bitter. Yes, you are. People are listening the way they speak to their people. They speak to their spouse. Speak to their children. Speak to their parents. There's a root of bitterness there. And it must be dealt with. Life's too short, beloved. And let me tell you, when it's all said and done, if you're saved, you're going to stand before God one day. And God's not going to do what you've done your whole life, pick up the carpet and sweep it underneath. It's not going to be that way. Things to be dealt with. Confronted. Now you have your choice. Get right now or get right in eternity. And I would encourage everyone to be right before you go into eternity. I'm going to be dealing with the subject in this hour and in the afternoon service. I think it's very vital for all of us. Not only for those who are not bitter to protect themselves, but for those who are bitter to get right. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we need you, Lord. If I could ask for anything today, I would ask for your presence, your power, you to work in our lives. Father, man is a mess because of sin, because of disobedience, because of rebellion against you. I'm asking, Lord, that you'd help all of us in this service to make sure that that root of bitterness is not there. God, I'm asking you, Lord, to speak to all of our hearts, to search us, as David said, search me, O God. I'm asking you to do that for us, Father. And Lord, I pray you put your finger right on our sin today and show us our need. Father, I know the devil is against this service. I know he is. He's against all our services. We're asking for the power of God to be prevalent, preeminent, and do a great work. Help us be honest with you, with ourselves, and we pray, Father, for victory. I pray people would put down their weapons, put down their guard, stop being proud and defensive, and let the Word of God speak to them, to help them and to heal them. Father, we pray for your leadership, and may your will be accomplished. And may Christ be glorified in it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 8, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew 18, and we'll pick it up here in verse 22. And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times. Verse 21. Then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him until seven times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And then God goes on, the Lord goes on here from verse 23 to verse 35 in teaching of a parable. We're going to get to that later on, but for time's sake, I'm going to ask you to be seated. And let's consider chapter 18, if you would. The Bible tells us here that Jesus deals with the subject of church discipline. And we preached on that Wednesday night. It's something that's just not practiced anymore, where people are removed from the church roles because of a disobedient lifestyle. And a lot of preachers just don't want to deal with it. It's not popular and so on. You know, we preach it, we practice it. And we don't like it. It's not a pleasant subject, but it's something that must be dealt with. And so our Lord has been teaching on this. And the idea here, the importance that in a church, there's got to be forgiveness. Offenses are going to come. Jesus told us that in the chapter. But he tells us that there's three steps to church discipline. And verse 15, if you notice the first step, more of thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his faults between thee and him alone. And the importance of privacy there, not to go around telling the world of the offense. And then verse 16 is the second step. But if you not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more than the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. The importance here of the second time, take someone with you. So let's just say that Steph and I have issues. Steph offended me, and so I go see him and say, Steph, you know, I was offended at your comment, and you know, I've seen you do it with other people. I don't think it's right, and I want to let you know I was really offended by that. So Steph says, you know what? Hit the road, Jack, and don't come back, right? And I tell him, my name is John, not Jack. But anyway, he misses the whole thing. And so I go and I get a couple of men. I get the deacons. I get Brother Joe. I get Brother Peter. And the two of us go, and the three of us go and go see Stephen. And Stephen is, we confront him and say, you know, what happened here, pastor, and so on. And so he said, well, you know what? I just stayed in my feelings, and I'm sick of this and that and the other thing, and blah, 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 and hit the road. And so anyway, next thing you know, we say, you know, this brother's not right, and all of a sudden he drops out of church. So we bring him before the church. And that's the third step here, and I want you to see this. Verse 17, and if you shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if you neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. So we find here that our Lord is slow to anger. And I'm glad we're not in that situation. Amen. So the Lord is slow to anger. God is a merciful, long-suffering God. And it was taught among the Judaism that to forgive someone two or three times was enough. One rabbi said it this way. He said, he who has who begs forgiveness from his neighbor must not do so more than three times. Another said, if a man commits an offense once, they forgive him. If he commits an offense a second time, they forgive him. If he commits an offense a third time, they forgive him. The fourth time, they do not forgive him. So this is all man's rationale. This is the world. It's not the scriptures. So here in the apostle Peter approaches Jesus with a question, how often do we forgive someone? And you know, Peter had the ability to say great things, and he's waxing eloquently right now, and he says, 7 times 70, Lord? Would that be gracious enough? 490 times? So, 7 times, Jesus came back and said, 7 times 70. In other words, it's continuous. You're going to continue forgiving. That's the idea. You just don't forgive a couple, two or three times, forget about it. But Peter said 7 times, and our Lord said, no, 7 times 70. Continual. Always. So on. But there are some problems at times where people who continually offend may forfeit things. Do you understand that? They may forfeit some things. We're to forgive them. But the thought is this, is that they may lose out on some benefits. They may not be as close to us as they were one time. That could happen. There may be a distance. Not that they're not forgiven, but they've not proven themselves to be trustworthy. So there may be a distance. I know of a family, not in our church, who had a child that had transgressed against the family. And they had him removed from the home. And he had to live. He lived in the same town as somebody. He had to get his own apartment. He wasn't allowed in the house. Now, everything's been restored. But he forfeited some things. You know, our Lord is saying that in church discipline. You know, you offend and you're not willing to make things right after the private confrontation, the spiritual confrontation with the pastor and a couple others, and then the church, you forfeit. You forfeit your membership. And Jesus said, they're not willing to get right. Count them as a heathen man. They're lost. Now, those words are the Son of God. So we find here that there are some problems with forgiveness. And I want to talk to you about the errors of forgiveness. Verse 21, and the Bible says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him till 7 times. And so we find here that Peter puts a limit on forgiveness. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 17. Let's take our Bibles now and follow along. Luke 17. And I want you to notice verse 3 through verse 4. Luke 17, verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If any brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against you 7 times in a day, 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. The idea is that we should always forgive. Now, again, the relationship may not be right, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but there should be a continuance in forgiveness. Now, some put a limit on the type of sins, or the forgiveness is conditional. This is not what the Bible teaches. Some will forgive and not reconcile. This is an error. And it's important to understand that. Notice again, chapter 18 of Matthew, verse 15 to 18, the point of church discipline was reconciliation. And we should seek reconciliation with people. I've told you a story once before. I think I told you this. There was a preacher that had been offended by me, but he was falsely accusing me. And so what I did was I explained what had happened. I told him, I said, you know, I'm not to blame here. I said, you want to blame anyone, you need to blame yourself. And so I don't know how period of time, but about 4 or 5 months went by, and I thought of everything possible that I could apologize for to get us reconciled. He was a good friend. And I apologized to him, but still we weren't reconciled. And time passed by, and next thing you know, I had written to him and I tried to answer his questions and explain things. And after a while, I told him, and this is a couple of years later, I told him, I said, I'm done with our friendship. The Bible says, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. I went to see the man. I tried to reconcile with him. He was falsely accusing me. So what happened was, after about 2 years, I decided I'm done. I've got too much on my plate. I've tried the best. God knows I did. I've gone not the second mile, went about fourth or fifth mile. And he said, you know, I'd like to, you know, be your friend. So I took the different things he wrote to me. I just emailed back. I said, read through this and let me know if you'd want to be friends with someone like that. So he wrote back. He said, I wouldn't want to be friends with a person like that, speaking of himself. So, I don't know, about a month or two after that, he wrote me an apology. So what'd you do, preacher? I forgave him. I had forgiven him before he did that. But I wasn't going to waste any more of my time after I did everything possible. I don't know if I got on my knees. I may have done that. But I did everything possible to be right with the man, even though I was falsely accused. And then he came clean. He said, I blamed you for my own problems. He said, these are my problems, and I put the blame on you as it was your fault. Now, you know, we're friends. I talk to him every so often. Not as close as we used to be. That just happens sometimes. But I have nothing in my heart against him. And that's why you want to take care of things before bitterness gets in and division gets in. Are you listening? Be quick to forgive people. Don't hold hard feelings. Don't fabricate things. Don't inflate it. Don't make it something it's not. Don't go around adding to the story all the time. You know, my husband, my wife, my children, my parents, that church, whatever it may be, don't do it. This is all going to come back to you sooner or later. You learn to forgive. And you learn to forgive and move on. Doesn't mean you agree, but you forgive. Doesn't mean that you go back on the same relationship. You may, but you may not. Forgive and move on. Don't hang on to the bitterness. Don't go around telling the story over and over and over again. What your husband, what your wife, what your children, what your parents, what the society, what the church, what the job did to you. Don't do it. You forgive and you move on. When God forgave us in salvation, did He say, oh, you know, I forgave, you know, Brother Frank and from all his borrowed sins, but I want to tell you what he did to me before he got saved. God doesn't do that. God forgives and it's all under the blood. It's all forgiven. So how important that is that we understand that. Now notice some verses here. Let's go to the 103rd Psalm, please. Let's go quickly. 103rd Psalm. Notice Psalm 103 and verse 12. And the Bible says in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far he hath removed our transgressions from us. Notice Isaiah 38. When God forgives, He forgives us for all our sins, and He doesn't bring them up anymore. Isaiah 38, and notice verse 17, please. Isaiah 38, verse 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Notice Matthew 18 and verse 15. Back to our text. And the Bible says in verse 15, moreover, thy brother shall trespass against thee. Notice he says, go tell him his falls between thee and him alone. So the Bible tells us where God operates. You don't have to go through a Roman Catholic priest to get your sins forgiven. That's not what the Bible teaches. He's no mediator. There's one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. You don't have to go through another man. You don't have to go through a preacher. I have people come to me and start telling me things and say, you don't have to tell me. Tell it to Jesus. Amen? Tell it to the Lord. You don't have to confess your sin to me. I can't forgive you in that sense of the ability as God has. But the thought here is God is quick to forgive. In Ephesians 4, 26, be angry, sin not, and let not the sin go down upon your wrath. One man said it this way about that verse. He said, do not allow the sun to go down upon your irritated, exasperated, embittered anger. Amen. Don't go to bed that way. Well, it's not fair. A lot of things are not fair, but don't go to bed that way. Don't go to bed that way. We can offend and not make things right and still be right with God. That's impossible. That's impossible. To offend, not make those things right, and still be right with God, can't do it. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord ought to hear me. Here's what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5. Turn back there with me, Matthew 5, and notice, if you would, please, verse 23. Matthew 5 and verse 23. And the Bible says here in verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. You listening? Not you against him, him against you. The Bible says here in verse 24, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. So God tells us that if you want to be right with me, you make sure that you're right with others. Now I want to stop right here. This is going to be a very practical sermon this morning. I'll stop right here. Some of you have turned me off already. You've said it's not going to change. It doesn't matter. I have every right to be bitter. You don't understand. You don't. None of those excuses are found in the Word of God as legitimate. Now I'm telling you, I'm preaching for your soul's sake. Do you know how I look at life? I look at it this way. It's Liz and I. We have our children. We have our in-laws. Alexis, Sarah, Joshua. There's two more coming. We have our grandkids. My life is going to affect my grandkids and my great-grandkids. And you say, well, preacher, the rapture's coming. You're right. But we may be here another 100 years. Who knows? I want to see all my kids come to Christ, my grandkids and my great-grandkids. That's part of my posterity. And if I'm not going to be right with my spouse, my children, my parents, my church, my brethren, my society, if I'm not going to be right, am I going to expect God's blessing upon my life? It's time for some of you men to put down your weapons. It's time for some of you women to get off your high horse and put down your weapons and receive the engrafted word to help your soul, to change the dynamics of your home. Instead of fighting and fussing, oh yeah, but we like making up. Dumber than a box of rocks. It's not the way to live your life. You ought to live in the fear of God. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of the Lord. Thou, God, seest me. Amen. And if you don't get that bitterness out of your life, as we go to the second point, you're going to infect, well, you have infected your family, but you're going to infect your children and your grandchildren. Amen. Amen. This is not a little sermon at the Christianettes. We're doing business with God this morning. Amen. So let's continue on. So we see the errors of in forgiveness, the extent of forgiveness. And Peter said seven times, our Lord said seven times 70, but rather the idea is here is that forgiveness is limitless. It's to continue on. Notice Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5. And notice, if you would, verse 44. Matthew 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, let your enemies, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to arise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. What does he say here? Love your enemies. Why? That you might be like your Heavenly Father. To hold bitterness in your heart to other people is ungodly. It's the opposite of God. It's unchristlike. There's nothing godly, nothing Christlike, nothing spiritual about it to have bitterness in your heart. Well, I'm not bitter at anyone, I'm just bitter at life. Well, who gave you life? You're bitter at God. I don't like the way things are working out, Lord. I don't like your plan for my life. Here's another verse to look at. In Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew 7, verse 3 through 5. Matthew 7, the Bible says in verse 3, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou, what's the word there? Either my hearing aid's not working this morning, or you didn't say that very loud. Thou what? Hypocrite. The hypocrisy among Bible-believing people sometimes is great. God says, here you're finding fault, this speck in that person's eye, and you look at this speck here. Meanwhile, you have a beam sticking out your own eye, you're banging his head with it by looking and trying to get the speck out, and you're going to beam out your own eye. And Jesus said, thou hypocrite. Notice he goes on and tells us here. He says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. See what God is saying here as we go to Ephesians chapter 4? God is telling us the importance of being right, with God, right with others. And not just doctrinal right that you can quote Scripture and say the right verse and you're dressing modest or you know, you are going to church faithfully. God is saying, look, there are be right relationships with people. It's a heart matter. God goes on and says in His Word in chapter 4 of Ephesians and verse 29, God says, let all corrupt communication, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So what is God saying? God's saying that when we speak, we should seek to be a blessing to others. That, beloved, doesn't mean you can't fool around and have fun with one another, but we're not to be mean-spirited. We're not to be bitter at each other. We're not to find fault. Our speech ought to edify, to encourage, to build up. Then he goes on and says here, I want you to see this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, Paul is writing to a saved congregation. There may have been some lost people there, but this was a great church at Ephesus. And he's saying to them, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, let me tell you about the church at Ephesus. Ephesus was an idolatrous city. Powerful city in that world. Idolatrous. Given over to Diana. Given over to immorality. Every filthiness under the sun. Maybe people are bitter because of the licentious spirit in that day with their spouse and their children and parents. Who knows? Maybe it was issues of unforgiveness because of things that happened to them. But God, on the leadership of the Spirit, tells Paul to pen down these words. All bitterness. And bitterness needs to be dealt with in our lives. These inward emotions. You know, our Lord did not demand forgiveness Our Lord doesn't demand forgiveness. He encourages us. How do I want to say this? What I want to say is that, you know, God wants us with a good decision to love one another and forgive one another. In other words, God is not on, you know, a mountain ready to strike us dead. But He wants us to be so right with Him. To be filled with the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That's the way God wants us to live. Not in the bonds of bitterness. Amen. And there are people in that bondage. Oh, my father, what he did to me. Oh, my mother, the way she did what she didn't do, what she did do, how she did what she should have done. You know, my siblings. You know, my children. My spouse. Bitterness. So we find here that God wants us to live in such a way that we're Spirit-filled and we're willing always to forgive and make things right with people. Now, man's nature is to sin. The Spirit of God's going to lead us to forgive, to seek, to be right. Now, notice some of these words here in verse 31. We find the word bitterness. And it speaks of smoldering resentment. In other words, it's a brooding, a grudge-filled brooding, this hard feelings attitude in one's soul. Bitterness will affect you physically. It can be detrimental to your health. And that's a medical fact. It'll show up in your countenance. You ladies are worrying about wrinkles and all that, get bitterness out of your life. That'll help. Because otherwise you're going to have bitterness, you know, wrinkles on your face. You know, that sour disposition of what he, they, them, she did to me. Bitterness will have an effect on you emotionally. It'll put a stronghold on your emotions. You mean bondage from that. Robbing one of the joy of the Lord. You have the joy of the Lord in your life? You're the peace of God that passeth, that ruleth and passeth all understanding. You have happiness in your life, or are you a person who is bitter in life because of the way you thought it should have went, the way you thought he or she should have said or treated you or acted? Bitterness will destroy you, your relationship with others, because you'll wind up being a critical, negative person. And you wind up having abnormal relationships. Now, I want to say this, and love me for what I'm going to say. I've seen this since I was a kid. You've seen people walk around with their dogs or their cat. You know? Oh, this is little Frenchie. Mommy's baby. Oh, this is daddy's girl. Ick. Dog licking, tasting, chewing everything. A scoundrel. It's a mutt. It's a scavenger. That thing would eat anything. You know that. And you're having a lick in your face. Well, that's your business. Good thing we don't practice the holy kiss around here. Amen. How you doing? People give their unnatural affection to that dog and mistreat their kids, mistreat their spouse. Mistreat lost soul. Oh, the dog is everything. The cat, oh, this is, you know, Fluffy the cat. And you've seen them. I've seen them in grocery stores. So what is a dog doing in a grocery store? I've seen them in restaurants. I've seen them in hotels. Pet friendly. Never forget the time I first saw a dog come in a hotel. And they got the key and they went to the room. I asked, is that dog going to stay in the room? Oh, yeah. Pet friendly. Never heard of that before. I'm saying, all right. You have like just certain rooms for pets? No. That dog sleeps in anywhere. They sleep in a cage? No. So I said, I may be staying in a room that had Marmaduke drooling all over the pillow the night before. Oh, we clean the room the next day. Oh, well, that settled it for me. I said, what if you have allergies? We'll do a thorough cleaning. One time I look for a hotel, I don't look for pet friendly. I make sure they're not pet friendly. I don't want to stay in them. It's not normal, beloved. I know somebody's really offended at this. It doesn't matter to me. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. That's abnormal. Unnatural. You like that with your sons, your daughters? Do you communicate with them? Do you lovingly instruct them? You like that with your husband, your wife, your parents? Are you loving to the lost? Are you loving to church family and the church families here? It's abnormal. Unnatural affection. I'm not against dogs. I'm not against cats. God created them. Why would I be against them? What I'm against is people loving them over other human beings. Well, I've been hurt in life. Bitterness. That's a problem. My dog doesn't give me any problem. I mean, of course not. They're not human. Amen? Well, I'm going to readdress that until this afternoon. I'm going to make a note and just drive down that street a few more times. So bitterness will destroy relationships. Bitterness will have a devastating effect on you spiritually. One can become fixated rather on a person or people or an institution out of bitterness. And all they can talk about is what happened to them and what they did to me and this, that, and the other thing. And on it goes. And you don't know the hurt. You don't know. I had to go see a doctor. Couldn't sleep at night. Bitterness. Now, let me just ask you something. Were you worshiping God during that time? No. I'll answer your question. Because your idolatry was on yourself. You're worshiping yourself and your feelings. How you were hurt. Meanwhile, you're not worshiping God. You're not walking the Spirit. You're not witnessing for Christ. Because you're bitter. And then Jesus said in Matthew 5, you're a hypocrite. That's what you are. You're a hypocrite for getting so bitter in life at that other person, that other institution, that thing, whatever took place, instead of forgiving and moving on. So God used the word bitterness, used the word wrath. He says back here in Ephesians chapter 4, wrath, and that's wild rage. It's passion. It's of the moment. It's throwing things, slamming. It's raising voice, threatening. It's anger. It's eternal smoldering and deep feelings of anger. The word clamor speaks of a loss of control, an outburst of shouting, and outcry and strife. I'm leaving. I can't take it anymore. I'm sick of this. Now, were you filled before you said those things in the Spirit or after? Come on, preach. I'm talking about life. I am too. I'm talking about spiritual life. I'm talking about real life. People are not saved. They're living in fantasy land. The world created by the devil. I'm talking about reality. I'm talking about you and I are headed to a judgment seat. What is God going to pat you on the back and say, oh, so I understand. I understand. Yeah, sure. You have every right. That husband of yours, a dope. That wife, a dummy. I understand. You had every right to be better. Where is he? Bring him up here. Bring her up here. You think it's going to work that way? You have deceived yourself. God goes on and says the term evil speaking. Ongoing defamation of someone because of a bitterness and unforgiveness in a person's heart. Malice, a general term for evil. And this needs, beloved, to be put away. That's what God says here. He said, let all bitterness and all these things be put away from you with all malice. Everything. Don't be that way. You're not to be evil people. You're not to be like the world. Then God says, and be ye kind one to another. Tender hearted, forgive one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, you think about Jesus. Think about some of the rotten things the Pharisees said to him. Oh, we're not born of fornication. They were saying he was illegitimate. He wasn't born of God. A lot of things said about Jesus. You know, oh, he's a wine bibber. When you find Jesus kicking over tables and going after these people, being bitter, oh, those Pharisees. Yeah, we're going to get those Pharisees, apostles. We're going to work together to get those Pharisees. He never did that. Here he is in Matthew 23, weeping. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Pharisees part of that. He said, but you would not. I'd forgive you, but you would not. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You listening? Bitterness. God tells us in His Word that we're to be kind one to another. You know, regardless of what happens, we're to be unconditionally kind. Luke 6:35, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Romans 5:8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for. The Bible says we were without strength, without God, without hope, while we were enemies. God tells us not only be kind, but be tenderhearted, being compassionate, empathetic, understanding that where they are at and the sinful nature. We're to forgive one another. And this is the extent as God towards the world wants to forgive all. This is the basic of a Christ-like character. Matthew 6:15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Mark 11:25, but when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. God tells us in Colossians 3, the husbands, be not bitter against your wives. Be not bitter against them. So this is something that the Lord addresses Christianity. Now the world's like that. You know that. Bitter, fault-finding, malice, just evil. People finding fault, picking on each other. I mean, that's the way the world is. Not everyone, that's the way the world is. But here God is telling saved people not to become bitter. Why? You have one life. Peter tells us to love life. To love life. He's not talking about your dog and cat or your reptile or whatever you have these days. Walk in the woods and love, oh, this is great, Lord. He's talking about interaction with other human beings. Relatives, loved ones, friends, brethren. And your people can be so bitter. I've seen them in churches. Bitter. We have some in our church. May God help us. I'm going to save the last point for this afternoon and to help and hopefully heal those who are sick in bitterness. It's all right, preacher, I am bitter. What should I do? Well, number one is you want to get right with God. And they get right with those you're bitter at. Well, they're dead. All right. Is anyone alive that you're bitter at? Forgive them. If they're dead, you know what I would do? I'm just telling you, you think I'm a kook? I'd write them a letter. They're not going to receive it. They're dead, but get it all out and apologize to them in a letter form. If they have living relatives that knew that you were bitter at them, give it to them. If it's a spouse, make things right. If it's parents, make things right. If it's children, make things right. Whatever you have to do. Life is too short to be embittered. I can tell you stories left and right about people who were bitter and then that person, one of them died. Too late. Too late. And they're haunted the rest of their life. because they had such ought in their heart against that person. Life's too short, beloved. Eternity is so important. You learn to forgive people. Again, that doesn't mean that you don't have any standards, but you learn to forgive people and not be bitter in your heart. And that means you're going to have to apologize to them. All right? It's not going to do any good. Yes, it does. I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you. And how do you know? You know everything? Are you you're omniscient? Do you have that ability like God? You know everything? How do you know it's not good? Well, I've done it before. And you're still bitter? You need to do it right this time. And make peace. As much as that lieth in you, live peace with all men. I was telling someone recently that this is a time of life not to be pushing people away and fighting with people. But make good friends, lifelong friends, godly friends, people you don't have to compromise with. And do what God wants you to do the rest of your days. But I'm telling you, say, well, preacher, I'm a little bitter at my wife. It doesn't matter a little bit. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. One bad apple destroys the whole barrel. You make those things right. Otherwise, you're not right with God. It doesn't matter what you say you are, your position, your what your thoughts are, what you do, where you're in the choir. It doesn't matter. You're not right with God. Life's too short not to be right with God. Let's stand on our feet, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no look around. And Father, thank you so much for this time. We pray for your leadership now as we go for a break. We pray you bless the food of our bodies. We pray, Father, people really consider their souls, and we pray you'd be glorified in it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's take an hour. We'll see you back here about 1:15 or so. Enjoy the pasta, and shake hands with the visitors. All right, thank you so much.